Good morning. Good morning. It's Monday morning here on WBSM, right? It's that magical time of year here on the South Coast as well, when your car won't start, your wallet's empty, and that special somebody on your list has champagne dreams. Well, don't panic. Mid-City Scrap, right here in Westport, has your back and your tow truck. They're paying top dollars for junk cars, running cars, rusted cars, even frozen solid cars. It really doesn't matter. They'll tow it for free, get it out of your sight, and you'll get cash that you need for those Christmas gifts. That means more cash for gifts, heating oil, and let's be honest, more eggnog, right? More eggnog. Call Mid-City Scrap today or stop by Mid-City Scrap, 548 State Road in Westport. Mid-City Scrap, turning junk cars into cash all year long. All right, we're now joined by Tim White from WPRI. Tim White, always been covering organized crime. His dad, you well remember Jack White, was covering organized crime. His son has picked up the mantle years ago now, been running with it, and he's got a big new special coming out on Louis Menacchio that everybody's going to want to check out on Channel 12 WPRI. Good morning, Tim White. How you doing?
Hey, Chris. Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Tell us what you have in store for us.
So we have a four-part documentary series that dropped today on called The Last Dawn of Providence. As you said, it is on, it profiles Louis Menacchio, who is a former mob boss of the Patriarca crime family. It is streaming right now on our free 12 Plus TV app, and we're dropping every, it's a half hour episode, and we're dropping new episodes every Monday for the next 4 weeks. So people just go to their Roku, Amazon Fire Stick, their, you know, if they have Apple TV or a newer Samsung TV, you just type in WPRI and download the app. It's totally free. And they can watch the entire series. Well, you can watch episode one today, right, and then the entire thing will be out in the next 4 weeks.
So this is great. I hadn't realized it was 4 weeks long. I knew it was a multi-part series. You have done really good work for decades now in picking up where your dad left off on organized crime in New England. What do we know about Louis Menacchio, the late Louis Menacchio? Now, he died peacefully, right?
Yeah, he died in December at the Veterans Home in Bristol, Rhode Island, at the age of 97. And it was working on that obituary, Chris, that really prompted me to explore this project, because as I thought about him, I realized, you know, he was born in 1927, raised through the Great Depression, and he got into crime very early on. As we got his records from judicial archives here in Rhode Island working on this project, we started this project in January. And it really dawned on me, again, working on his obit, that his life, the arc of his life, really paralleled the arc of the Patriarca crime family, the rise and the fall. He was a loyal soldier to Raymond L.S. Patriarca, obviously the namesake of the crime family here, and ultimately becoming boss with the downfall of Cadillac Frank Salemi and all of that. So he's just a fascinating guy. He went on the run, Chris, for 10 years in the 1970s from after he had helped plan a double gangland slaying in Providence for Raymond Patriarca. He speaks multiple languages. He's an expert skier, which is kind of interesting.
Yes.
So he's not, you know, he's not the stereotypical mob boss that people think of that Hollywood has shoved down our throat. He's a very complex, layered guy, and we thought it was about time to tell that story.
I love that you're doing it. Tim White from WPRI, one of his nicknames, he had many of them, but one of them was the professor, because he was so learned.
That's right. Yeah, the feds put that in his 2011 indictment, right up there along with the old man and, of course, Baby Shacks were his other nicknames. But, yeah, he spoke German. He spoke French, Italian, and English. A lot of that, you know, we interviewed his former lover who told us that, you know, he learned a lot of those languages when he was on the run in Europe from that that gangland slaying case. So, yeah, definitely a smart guy. I keep saying it, but not the stereotypical vision of a mob boss that people have.
Speaking with Tim White from Channel 12 WPRI, he's got a big special coming out on Louis Menachio, the boss of the Patriarca family who recently died. In some of the documents I've seen, in part through your reporting, talks about the fact that while he didn't appear to have much money, he had control of vast amounts of money, to include private jets and other local businessmen's credit cards. Talk a little bit about that, Tim.
Yeah, he had access to money. And famously, during the bail arguments in the case in 2011, the judge was hearing a lot about how he only dealt in cash. He didn't have any physical holdings. He would borrow, as you said, he would borrow credit cards from wealthy businessmen that he had befriended, also had access to a private jet, which made him a flight risk. And oh, by the way, he was on the run for 10 years. Yeah. So the judge ultimately decided it would be best to keep him detained pending trial and all of that. But one of the things, Chris, we learned in working on this, and I don't want to give away too much, sure, but we reveal in episode 4 what he did with at least the money we could track. We were able to track that down, and we talk about that at the end of episode 4. So he did, he had a lot of money. When you're the mob boss, it's a pyramid scheme, and people pay up. That's the process, how it works. And he was, up until the end, he was getting, or I should say the end of his reign as boss, he was getting protection payments from strip clubs and so on and so forth. And so we were able to track down what he did with some of that money.
We're speaking with Tim White from WPR. He's been covering organized crime in New England for quite a while now. Tim, Louis Menachio is dead. What is the current state of the Patriarca crime family? Do we know?
Yeah, well, it's splintered. I hear chatter, as I'm sure you do, about people positioning themselves. Of course, Louis Menachio died in December. He had stepped down in the wake of that federal investigation we've been talking about, and that there was some ping-ponging of people, but ultimately it was Carmine D'Annunzio, the cheese man, as he went by, that took the reins of the crime family, and he died a couple of months ago. So uncertainty is probably the answer to you. Right. There are still some big, his brother, Anthony D'Annunzio, up in Boston, he had been identified by the FBI as a player in the organized, a made member of the organized crime family. Down here, probably the biggest name left is a capo named Matthew Matty Guglielmetti, is around. But there is no clear indication yet about if anyone has or will take control. And that's, again, why we think Menachio is fascinating, because he really was, as the title of our series says, the last Don of Providence. I mean, the last time the power structure was centered on Federal Hill in Providence was with Louis Menachio.
We're speaking with Tim White from WPRI. So tell people again how they can see this, where it's dropping, how they get your app, all of that, Tim. Give my people instructions how to get there.
Yeah, thanks. First of all, on WPRI.com and our website, we have what I'm about to tell your listeners. We show videos on how to do it. And really, people need to think of the streaming app like Netflix, yep, or HBO Max or YouTube that you download on your TV and watch. It's the exact same idea. But again, Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, newer Samsung TVs, you go to that little icon to search and you search WPRI and the app 12 Plus will come up with the blue background. You just download that. And then you don't have to create a login or any of that. It's totally free. You just launch it. You open it up like you would Netflix. And right at the top, you'll see The Last Don of Providence. Episode 1 will be right there for you to click on, and you can start streaming it from there. But again, I threw a lot at you. Want to go to WPRI.com. It's front and center on the page right now because there is a lot of interest.
No, it's dropping right now. You can go on there and check it out. I don't think it's in your series, but Louis Minocchio spent quite a bit of time over here in New Bedford. He liked fresh fish. He was a health nut, and he liked fresh fish, and so he was here quite a bit, Louis Minocchio.
Yeah, he was a health nut. You got that right. Yeah. I mean, that also speaks to why he lived to the age of 97.
Yes.
But Southeastern Mass plays a big part, particularly in episode 3 of this. You know, I've been on your show before. We have talked about Kevin Hanrahan.
Yep.
And, you know, his killing in 1993 and the players from Southeastern Massachusetts that were around at that time and all of that. So that's an important part of episode 3. And, you know, definitely some characters, Chris, that you will recognize in that episode.
Thank you, Tim White, for joining us this morning. You guys do a great job over there on Organized Crime and on Politics. That Newsmaker show is just absolutely fantastic. Any idea of what's coming up on Newsmakers?
Yeah, Ted is, because I was so busy with this project, he taped a special Thanksgiving episode. And I got to tell you, I'm not really sure who's on because I didn't host. He did me a solid so I could get this project off the ground.
Thank you, Tim White. I really appreciate it. You're always available whenever I text. I appreciate it, Tim.
Oh, Chris, thanks for having me on. Happy Thanksgiving.
You too, my friend. Happy Thanksgiving, Tim White. Yeah, check it out. This is going to be a really interesting project on Louis Minocchio, the late Don, the last Don of the Patriarch of Crime family, put together by Tim White and the whole group over there at WPRI. So great stuff, great entertainment, great information. We're going to take a break, and then we'll be right back. Open phones till noon when I get out of here. So let it rip, 508-996-0500. Stick around.
This portion of programming on WBSM is brought to you by Dee's Hot Dogs in New Bedford, where you can get two hot dogs, soda, and a bag of chips for only $5.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Closer look reveals the human race. Full of hope, full of grace is the human face. But afraid, we merely are home to waste. There's a fear down here we can't forget. Hasn't got a name just yet.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. You're the audience. Again, I want to thank Tim White from WPRI. I'd recommend you all check out this program he's produced on Louis Minocchio, the last Don of Providence in New England. Check it out on WPRI.com. Tim does great work on organized crime. He's written a great book, The Last Good Heist, right, about the bonded vault, one of the largest cash robberies in American history. And I actually interviewed Jerry Tillinghast, who was charged but acquitted in that case. They get him on some other stuff later on in life. He did 33 years in jail, if you remember. Jerry Tillinghast was here a number of times, actually. And his son as well. His son's a friend of mine. But The Last Good Heist is the book by Tim White. I think that makes a marvelous Christmas gift. And particularly if you have a family member that really enjoys this project that they put on down in WPRI. If they seem like they really like it, maybe pick up The Last Good Heist by Tim White and some other co-authors on what turned out to be The Last Good Heist, the bonded vault robbery. So helping people do their Christmas shopping here. I'm full of ideas, full of ideas. You know, for over 50 years, Bass Ready Rooter has been the trusted name in drain cleaning and septic maintenance all across New Bedford, Fall River, Dartmouth, Fairhaven, Freetown, all over the sound of my voice in South Coast. From emergency drain clogs to hydro jetting and camera inspections, the expert team at Bass Ready Rooter delivers solutions the right way, with honesty and respect. That's why neighbors and plumbers alike recommend Bass Ready Rooter. With more than 700 five-star Google reviews. Bass Ready Router, the underground septic pipe, is the most underrated utility. And we've got your home covered, right? Call 508-995-8012 or go to bassready.com. They won't be your first call, maybe not, but they'll always be your last call, right? Bass Ready Router. So it's been a fun program so far. It's not quite over. Still taking your phone calls at 508-996-0500. We'll have the mayor of New Bedford tomorrow, not Wednesday. The mayor is going to see his in-laws, right? They have a family down in New York. And so the mayor is not going to be here on Wednesday. I was happy to oblige. We're going to move it up to tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Now at 10 o'clock, we'll have Ward 1 City Councilor Leo Choquette. Now, Leo Choquette took the opposite vote on the tax shift as my 9 o'clock guest, Sean Oliver. So that'll be interesting, right? We had Sean Oliver at 9 o'clock explaining why he voted the way he did. And I think making a informed justification seems that most of you appreciated that. So we heard Leo on Friday with my colleague. We'll see what he does tomorrow when he explains his vote on the tax shift during the 10 o'clock hour. Right? And we'll be taking your calls on anything. And by the way, really appreciate Paul Craney making time for us this morning to come on and explain why your electric bills are so high, your gas bills, and what you can do about it, right? What you can do about it. You literally can vote your way out of the problem. That's not a bad solution, right? Merely showing up and voting can change a bill. That's a good deal, I think. It may take a couple of months, a couple of years, but we can get there. That's a good hope, right? We have hope and we have the opportunity for change. But it's open phones. If it's on your mind, I want to hear about it. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Chris, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, thank you. Chris, getting back to Paul Craney, I wonder if you would consider doing us all a favor. When you have a local reps and senators on, I wonder if you could ask them what their feeling is about revisiting the local aid formula. If you could add that to your to your list of topics to discuss with them, because I don't think I've ever heard a rep or a senator discuss that out in the open like that. I think it would be healthy to have that discussion.
I agree with you. I can tell you that I've had conversations, detailed conversations with them off the air where that, it's more free flowing, obviously. They're not under the spotlight. Neither am I.
Sure.
Where they explained to me that some of their trepidation about giving additional UGA, right? The unclassified government aid is that it may end up that cuts into the very lucrative school formula that the city of New Bedford gets. But it's a good topic to discuss. It really is. I appreciate that.
Well, I mean, I don't understand why one would cut into the other. I mean, I wouldn't want the school aid to be reduced, to increase UGA.
Right.
If you look at one of Paul Craney's papers recently, the national average for municipalities budgets, I think municipalities nationally, they garner 30% or 31% of their budget is local aid. Here in Massachusetts, it's like around 25%, and I think in some communities it's even less. And I'm talking about combined Chapter 70 and the UGA factor. So, I wouldn't want to sacrifice one for the other, because obviously education is one of our core services that we need to provide. But I just think that the other component of local aid is so underfunded now.
Totally.
It just hasn't kept up. So that's all. I just wonder if
you could
bring
that
up on the air and let them talk about it.
Certainly I will. Thanks for the call, my friend. Thanks for the directional. I will do that. And by the way, a lot of them are listening right now. In part, or they'll do the podcast, or their staff is listening, because they care what you guys think. That's how they get elected, so they get their jobs. But I've seen that study, and again, you don't have to agree with Mass Fiscal on everything to agree they're an important organization that's doing important work, right? Just like I don't agree with the teachers union on everything. In part, I'd agree with them on nothing, probably, in a lot of ways. And that's my parents were both members. But their information is good, at least to make a totally informed decision, right? They played very strongly in the local elections in the city of New Bedford. Many of you were the beneficiaries of information to make your vote sent by the Massachusetts Teachers Association. The Massachusetts Fiscal Alliance has a study. They do a lot of studies. They have a nonprofit as well, a 501c3. That looks into local funding, state aid. Remember, guys, we have here in Massachusetts, at least last I checked, the most successful lottery. In part because many of us aren't successful when we play it, right? How many of us play the lottery and we never win, right? I mean, I throw $5 at the Mega Millions or Powerball? They're up to like $5 now. Every time it gets into the triple digits, I go, hey, I won't miss the $5 or $10. Turns out I actually do now because, you know, lately it seems to be big jackpots. I've scaled back, really, my occasional throwing money at it because now that it's $5, you go, you know, actually, I know I'm not going to hit it, so what's the point, right? Now I will miss the $10. My point being is many of you play scratch tickets. You play the daily number. All that money goes to the state. It doesn't come back to Fairhaven or New Bedford or Mattapoisett until it goes to the state. Then they slice off a little bit of it for local aid. When Senator McLean, who did, in fact, design and pass the bill that created the state lottery. Our own Senator Biff McLean, well, he was a state representative then, from Fairhaven and Acushnet in Freetown. He designed and passed the lottery bill back in the 70s, designed to fund local aid. That lottery dwarfs, the lottery today dwarfs the original lottery that Representative McLean, Biff McLean, put on the books all those years ago in the 1970s. In fact, there's an excellent documentary on the Massachusetts lottery put on YouTube by WGBH, the local channel, Channel 2, right? You paid for it, taxpayer money. Really good documentary on the Massachusetts lottery. I'd recommend you check it out. It's in fact dovetails with what we were talking about with my last guest, Tim White, about the mafia, because it talks about how it put organized crime to some degree out of the gambling business because it took it over, the lottery. The daily number, it used to be played all over the place here, the illegal lottery, all over the place. in New England, particularly Massachusetts. Representative McLean and the legislature at the time, they took it from an illegal lottery, made it a government lottery, and in part to bring local aid. So the point being is the state of Massachusetts gets the sales tax, the income tax, the capital gains tax, the millionaires tax, the marijuana tax, and the lottery. And selectmen like Andrew Saunders here in Fairhaven and Charlie Murphy and Chris McCarthy when he was a selectman in Freetown, Bob Robidoux when he was a selectman in Freetown, right down to today, the mayor of New Bedford and Sean Oliver have said, look, we're not getting back enough of the money that we pay in local aid, right? All right, 508-996, kind of open phones if it's on your minds. I want to hear about it. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's up?
I was able to look up, not me, but my neighbor looked it up for me.
Okay.
On the budget for New Bedford.
Yes.
He gave me a printout. For the $155 million. Let's start with this. This year, we don't know what 2025 revenue is, tax revenue.
Right.
Because the year hasn't ended. But I'll go by 2024. The city received in total tax revenue $155 million. And total state aid, $273 million. And the budget at the time was $513 million. What I do know is that for fiscal year this year, you're talking about state aid.
Yes, sir.
For this year, we've received $28.3 million for the city, from the state, for non-school aid. And for the public school aid, we're getting $236.3 million, and the budget, according to the city website, is $536 million for this year.
So, what do those numbers tell you, my friend?
Well, they tell me that we're getting more state aid than we are tax revenue from the city, and if they start cutting down, we're gonna face some problems here, but. I did look up for 2012. I thought it was 279 that he looked it up. It's actually $283.6 million was the budget for 2012. But still, it's gone up to 536, and then it's going to go up to $560 million. Now, the sources are Mass Municipal Association, the New Bedford website, and then the New Bedford Light, too, came up with... the school aid came from the CFO of New Bedford, mm-hmm. For this year, $236.3 million going towards the school, and $28.3 million for non-school state aid.
Sure.
So we're still relying heavily on the state, and thank God for that. But if we get cuts, like we've been saying, we're in trouble.
Yeah, I think the mayor has been saying that, right? That the amount of aid we're getting is diminishing all the way back to, I think he uses the figure off the top of my head, 2008. We're at that level.
Well, right. Well, the thing is, I know these are numbers to put out there,
yeah,
but
yes.
These are numbers that we need to look at. I mean, I didn't mean to put Sean on the spot.
No, it's all right. I get it.
You know, but if you're a city council and you're there for 2-3 years and you're dealing in the numbers, I mean, they're going into the weeds.
Yes.
You should have, I'm not saying itemized, every item you got to know, you know, X number for the meter, and so at least the general total of the tax revenue. This year we didn't get, but last year in tax revenue, the city generated $155 million, and then the state aid was $273 million. And the total budget was 513, and now it's going to balloon in 2026 to $560 million. You know? That's
so that looks like, yeah, that looks like there's a big discrepancy between the total revenue and the expenses, right?
Well, absolutely. Because you're getting more state aid than you're doing property taxes and business taxes. But it's part of it. And not, I'm not the only one that's saying this, but
yes.
We need to cut back on spending. The mayor needs to cut back on spending. It's not good politically because he's not going to be too popular if he's going to run for mayor again, but something needs to be done.
Thank you for the call, my friend. Thanks for the information. That's all very good information. I do appreciate it. Again, I will have Leo Choquette tomorrow and the mayor of New Bedford tomorrow. Leo will be here at 10 a.m. The mayor will be here at 11. He's normally here on Wednesdays, but he's traveling to see in-laws right down in New York. And we'll be happy to accommodate the mayor on the holidays. No problem there at all. All right, I'm going to take a break, and then we'll be back. Stick around. Open phones, what's on your mind? I want to hear about it. We've done a lot this morning, and I appreciate all my guests. Stick around.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
Welcome back to the program. You know, it's been 78 years that Carter's Clothing has been South Coast's one-stop shopping for clothing and footwear. And this Christmas, they're making gift-giving even easier, right? Carter's has the best prices on top name brands like Carhartt, Timberland, Chippewa, New Balance, and more. Go to Carter's Clothing. Go in that store and you'll be amazed at the prices and the top brands that you see there. Absolutely amazing. Find something for everyone with over 75 styles of boots, cozy flannels, hoodies, and jackets and vests that are perfect for the winter season. Free parking is available at both locations, New Bedford and Fall River. Gift cards are available in any denomination. Any denomination. Shop small, shop local this Christmas with Carter's Clothing. Visit us at cartersma.com. Family-owned business you can trust. All right, we got a number of people on hold. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hey, good morning, Chris. How's it going?
Good. What's happening?
Hey, I think New Bedford as well as Massachusetts should come up with a new slogan for its constituents.
All right.
Ready?
Yes.
You ready for it? If you can't afford to live here, then leave. How about that? I mean, it's really, that's what they're doing. They're pricing people out.
Hey, and you listen, beat it.
Newsflash to myself as well and everybody else. There's plenty of other places that are cheaper to live around the country. You know what I mean? And I understand we have our roots here. We have family connections here. But at the end of the day, that's the message they're sending.
Yes.
Is they're pricing people out. And you have two choices. You either suck it up and pay it, or you go somewhere else. And that's what it boils down to. It's crazy. I mean, unfortunately, I don't think I'm going to be able to make it to speak to the mayor tomorrow. And last week, I found myself in the same predicament. But I'm in a situation, too, where I mean, the only person that I have left to turn to is the mayor. And it's in terms of the legal dumping going on. Put another thing on the plate, but have you noticed the mess that is in this community and the legal dumping that's going on? It's out of control, Chris.
Where are they doing a lot of illegal dumping? Because the mayor's staff is listening.
Everywhere. How about this?
Give me one or two locations if you can.
Ward 3, Ward 2 specifically.
Okay.
Like specific those areas, like the Cushnet Ave area, the areas around Sawyer Street and those side roads. Let me explain what's going on.
Okay.
Somebody illegally dumped. It was a couch at first, right?
Okay.
And they literally left it on the curb, right?
Yes.
Me trying to be a good constituent, right?
Yes.
A good landlord and all that. I basically, because it was literally right on the handicap, you know, the ramps at the end of the streets or whatever on the corner.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
And there is somebody that utilizes their wheelchair. So I kind of pushed it to, on like away, basically.
Yeah.
Well, unbeknownst to me, it now became my responsibility because I touched it. Right. So what I did was, when I got a ticket. So then I was like, whatever. I moved it in, like, onto the property, and then I disposed of it. Well, now, because I've done that, now it becomes the random dumping ground, because whatever gets dumped there magically disappears, right? And I'm not doing that no more. I'm not
right.
putting it on the curb. I'm not doing any of that. And now it's every other week. Literally every other week. And it's, you know, the people of the city are great. I let them know what's going on. You know, but they say, hey, listen, at the end of the day, it's your responsibility to get rid of the stuff. And it's like, this is going a weekly basis. And there's nothing you can do about it. It's the craziest thing. So it's either you dispose of it or you get ticketed and fined for it. You know what I mean?
So, yes.
And it's going on everywhere. And it's like, you know, at first I thought it was my situation, but it's going on everywhere. I have a friend who has a small business that they kept filling up his dumpster. So what did he do? He locked the dumpster,
yes.
right? And what's happening now is they're leaving it on the side of the dumpster. So what did he do? He puts up cameras.
Right.
You know what these dudes do? They park at the bottom of the street, walk the stuff up, put it behind the dumpster, and then leave. And there's nothing you can do about it. It's like, it's the craziest thing. So, again, this is just another quote-unquote tax
right.
for the landlords and all that. And listen, I have an idea about this, these taxes. I was thinking about this. Why don't we itemize everything, even for property taxes? Like, I think if you are owner-occupied or if you live in the city, in the community, you should get a tax break. And that should be itemized. It should be, this is what you're paying for. This,
right.
this, that, the other. And that way, if you're not getting that service, you fire.
That's very interesting.
We should know exactly what we're paying for. That's how I see it. You know what I mean? If the roads, if we're paying for the roads and the roads ain't up to par, guess what? We shouldn't be mandated to pay for it. And that's how I think we can hold people accountable.
Thank you for the call, my friend. Thanks for the information. And I don't blame him for not wanting to give out that address or location for where this dumping is going on that he's forced to clean up out of the goodness of his heart, really, and the fact that he wants to have a relatively clean neighborhood. Because, as he says, someone leaves something there and then he takes care of it. So they think, hey, that's a great place to leave stuff because I don't see it there anymore after I leave it there. Because this gentleman is taking care of it. They don't know who he is. They quite frankly don't care. They just know they're not in possession of the possession anymore. And it disappears. And he's paying the bill, right? He's paying the bill. All right, let's go back to the phones. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, my friend.
Hey,
can I get a number two?
Sure, go ahead.
I'm watching TV here, okay? And tonight, I think you might want to know, it might be past your bedtime because you get up early, I guess, 8 o'clock to 10, Truth and Lies, -JFK with a question, two-hour program. I don't know if they're going to say anything new about the, it's on Channel 5.
I saw that this morning, that they're going to have that this night.
Oh, you did say it
this morning.
Well,
I didn't see the program. I saw the commercial for it, yeah.
Oh, so you check it out too then, huh?
I watch Channel 5. That's my morning news. I do them. I do 12. I kind of toggle back and forth.
Okay.
That looks good again. For those who don't know, we have the anniversary of the assassination of the president. Yeah,
yesterday. And I know you've always been interested in it.
Oh,
me
big
too.
Time.
I got interested as a 10-year-old in politics as a 10-year-old because of JFK, because it was a young man who was becoming president, and it was like, gee, all the other guys I looked at in the books, they were all old guys,
right,
you know?
Right.
So I was hoping for the future that this is the way it was going to be. And then, of course, when I turned 13, he was killed, and as it was a terrible thing. To live through that, it was, I believe, like losing a member of the family the way people were.
I wasn't alive for it, but I know that, you know, both my parents could tell me where they were. And I know Billy Walsh, who just recently passed away, could tell me where he was. Anybody who was alive like yourself remembers where they were.
Oh, yeah. Old Roosevelt Junior High School, coming out of Mrs. Crowley's ninth grade class. And a friend of mine, Carlos Samaro, said, hey, they just killed the president. I said, yeah, you're crazy.
Right.
Well, come to find out, he was right. And then I spent the rest of the day going home after they let us go out, you know, once the day was done or immediately, whatever. And I ran down Brock Avenue, and I got down to Tuttero's TV. That's just where before the police station, the fire station is now. And I was looking in the windows there at Tuttero's TV to see what was coming out of Dallas. And then from there, I ran home and got the rest and the whole weekend and the Oswald killing and everything. I'll tell you, I think it's a real point of change in our country,
yes.
That assassination.
Totally.
We went from coming out of World War II feeling that we could accomplish anything and we were successful, and I think that really was a downer. Really,
yeah.
It's a different direction.
No, that's I agree. Thanks for the call, my friend. I agree with you, and I wasn't around for it. My mother was... Listen to this. My mother was flying into Idlewild Airport. She was doing international flights for Pan American Airlines. And she got off the flight, and somebody said to her, "Did you hear the president's been shot?" And my mother said, "What's the punchline?" You know, thinking it was a joke. Idlewild Airport, for those of you who've seen Goodfellas, you know, there's a little thing in that where they talk about the airport, and they say Idlewild Airport. That's what became JFK. JFK Airport in New York City was originally Idlewild Airport. My mother was flying in on Pan American Airlines, and that's when she found out at the future JFK Airport, Idlewild at the time. All right, I got to take a break. We'll be right back. That's the difference between JFK and Donald Trump, right? Trump learned to duck. He learned from history. Better be careful, right? Twice they tried to get him. Once they hit him right in the ear. They didn't get him the second time. They didn't get him the first time. God bless the president of America, no matter who it is, right? JFK through Reagan to Obama, Joe Biden, and Donald Trump. Always God bless the president of the United States. All right, so they've adjusted my dialysis schedule, as everyone's, not just mine, for the holiday. So we can make it, and the girls can make it. And so that means today I'm going across the street, get all my blood taken out of my body, cleansed and put back in, and then, God willing, I'll be back tomorrow morning, right? We'll do it again all tomorrow. We'll have a nice lineup of guests. We have Woodland City Councilor Leo Choquette. He'll be here for an hour. Maybe I'll give him extra time. I don't know. And then the mayor of New Bedford, I guess I can't give Leo extra time because the mayor of New Bedford will be in here right after that at 11 o'clock. He's normally here on Wednesday, but he'll be here Tuesday at 11 o'clock and taking your phone calls. So I'm getting out of here. Coming in next, the very talented Brian the Cabbie coming up next. He'll have a big show for you here filling in for the vacationing Barry Richard, who deserves it. He deserves it. And like I said, I'll be, I won't be here Thursday and I won't be here Friday. I'll be fine. I'll be, you know, gluttonous and all that stuff. But I'll be here tomorrow. God willing, I'll be here tomorrow. And God willing, I'll be here on Wednesday as well. Right? So stick around for Brian.